Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Have you ever just couldn't wait to praise the Lord again? Maybe been sick, maybe been out of church, maybe through trouble. You know, David, in his great sin that he committed, and Lord, you know, David was a man that watched King Saul for a mighty long time before he ever became king himself. And so he saw Saul's rebellion and how that the Bible says that Samuel told him that the Lord has rejected thee. He's rejected thee. And he saw that anointing just leave like it came. And then when David committed the sin he did, one of the first things he said was, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Lord, if you took it from Saul, and look what I have done, where does that leave me? Lord, wash me. Oh, cleanse me. If I could find a bullock that would take care of my sin, I'd give you that. If there was a sheep clean enough, I'd give you that. But with burnt offerings and sacrifices, he said, thou hast no pleasure. He said, that ain't it. I got to be the sacrifice. I got to put on the sackcloth and ashes. I got to be the one that cries out in the night. He said, my sin is ever before me. I'm telling you, he couldn't get up and get a sandwich in the night without, oh, man, what did I do that for? But somewhere along the way, after that little boy died and he washed his face, he couldn't wait to worship again. He couldn't wait to get back in the house of God again. And the Bible says he washed his face and went to the temple and worshiped. And then he went and comforted his wife Bathsheba. First thing he wanted to do was worship God. I'm still here. I'm still alive. It should have been me that died. It should have been me that perished for what I did. Hallelujah. You deserve more punishment than you're getting tonight. I don't know if you really realize that. You deserve a whole lot more than you're getting. But as it's already been mentioned by Brother Valentine, we serve such a merciful God. And I thank God for it. Amen. David's life speaks volumes to me. I have studied the life of David, taught a long Sunday school lesson. It went maybe a year, I don't know, in another church on the life and times of David. And it was really something to study the life of this boy from the time that you first hear about him and when he takes his last breath. It was something to study. And his life spoke volumes to me because it was about failures and restoration. It was about jubilation. It was about being a victim and the victor too. He just spoke volumes to me. Your life should speak volumes. When Abel died, he looked at Cain and said, "Where's your brother?" He said, "I don't know." He said, his blood's speaking volumes to me. It's telling me something's not right. It's speaking to me. Your brother's blood crieth to me from the ground. And when we talk about this book, it speaks volumes to me. I'm telling you, I wouldn't trade anything. We were given a Bible study last night, my wife and I, to Sister Anna, and they whipped out that thing you can just punch a button, you know, and here I am, pages falling out, you know. And I said, she's picking at me. She said, not Anna, my wife. I said, Anna, he needs to get up to date, you know, with the times. I said, yeah, it may fall out and all that. I said, but you know what? When I need something from the Lord, I go, I know it's right here somewhere. There it is right there. And you can't do that. And she said, well, you're right. So I'll just stick with this if that's okay. Now, I know some preachers, I'm not telling you I won't change. They walk around with their iPad and all that kind of stuff. I'm still old school. I may just die old school, but I still like this right here. Man, oh, man. At the fullness of time, the Bible says Christ was born under the law and of a woman. The whole Old Testament spoke volumes about the coming of Christ. Volumes, not just a few verses, volumes. A virgin shall conceive. And it was over there in Isaiah, this was said, and Jeremiah said something. David writes about him on the cross and how he said, I thirst. Right? Volumes. And he came in the volume of the book. Romans 8:3 says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. How many of you have flesh? Then you're weak. Yeah, I just might as well tell you, if you got flesh, you're weak. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, not sinful, but the likeness of it, right? Still had the weakness of it. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Woo, I don't know, you know how powerful that is. He condemns sin in the flesh. So he said in one place, the tempter cometh, but he has nothing in me. Wow. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. So I don't need a taste not, handle not, thou shalt not, don't do this, don't do that. Because the law of righteousness is the perfect law of liberty that James said that is within our hearts. It is a law inside of me with circumcision, not of the flesh, but of the heart, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I challenge you as a person, as the church today, that we come to God and come to the world in the volume of the book. The volume of it. To a mathematician, a volume means specificity. I say it? That's it. Say it louder. So it. That's it. And to a scientist, it means capacity. And to a musician, it means intensity. But to the Bible, it means in entirety. It means everything. Hallelujah. And it's time that the church live. You listen to me. I'm going to preach where you live. It's time we live in the volume of the book. He said, I put this in you, that righteousness in you, that you might live what I came to fulfill. So that we ought to be able to turn anywhere in the book. I do that. I abide by that. No, I don't do that to my neighbor. Every place you go, you've got to live in the volume of the book. I challenge you tonight. Do not hang on to one or two scriptures. I profess the Lord as my Savior and then go live like the devil. You can't do that. You've got to live in the volume of the book. Not in one or two scriptures that you want to hang on to. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, I did that, so now I can go do what I want to do because it says I'm going to be saved. Brother, you better be careful. You've got to live. He came in the volume of the book, and he put this in us that we might be able to fulfill what this book says. Whoo, this thing speaks volumes to me. Christ dwells in our hearts, he said, by faith, being rooted and grounded in love, that we may be able to comprehend the volume, the breadth, the depth, the width, and the height of Almighty God. That's the volume of it. Hallelujah. And you will never know the volume of it if you're not willing. Who shall I teach knowledge to? Whom will I give doctrine to? It ain't going to be babies. And we need to know the love of Christ with passeth knowledge. I'm telling you, Brother Valentine taught some really good Sunday school lessons about the love of God. And I'm telling you, there's some people, I'd have been through with them a long time ago. But somehow God still loves them and still picks them up. And I have to repent because I need to have that kind of love. I don't understand it. But he has that kind of love. That we might understand this love. See, you're not going to know that if you're on the milk. And be filled with the fullness of God. Then it says, unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according. It's accordingly to the power that worketh in you. I will tell you, you will never get anything from God without faith. Faith You first must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that half-heartedly serve him. Diligently serve him. Diligently seek him. I was teaching again that Bible study. Boy, it's dangerous for me to teach a Bible study right before I preach because I kind of draw from that Bible study, you know. But we were talking that Bible study, and I quizzed my wife and Anna. I said, we read this scripture, Brother Valentine, where he told the parable of the sower. Now, the parable of the sower is the most important parable in all the Bible because he says, if you don't know this, how will you know the other thing? So you've got to know the parable of the sower. And I'm going to use a little bit of it tonight, but you've got to know that. Well, at the end, he told the parable. His disciple says, come here, come here. What does that mean? What does that mean? We don't understand it. And he said, well, the sower was this, and the riches and the thorns and this was this. And he said, but to them is not to know, lest they repent and I forgive them and they be saved. I thought Christ come to save people. So I asked them, what's with that? He don't want them to know so that they... There's several scriptures. Ezekiel talked about it, or Isaiah did, about how that they come to the scriptures and why doesn't he want them to repent? Why doesn't he want them to believe? Well, you want me to answer that, or you want to come back next week? Because they weren't seeking him. The disciples said, what does that mean? He that seeks finds. He that asks is given. He that knocks, it is open. And they're not seeking. They're not asking. They should have said, just like you, Master, what do you mean by that? But they didn't ask. So he said, if you're not going to ask, and you're not going to seek me, and you're not going to look for me, you won't be found of me. Hallelujah. So in that parable, it talks about so many different things. And it's really not the parable of the sower. That's what we call it. It's the parable of the soils. Because it was the same seed in all of them. But it was the soil that determined the fate of the seed. Oh, Lord, I don't want to go there. Paul talks to us about this power. And he says, I don't come to you with enticing words of men's wisdom. Right? I could come to you and with all the Greek and the Hebrew and all these things I've learned and teach you. He said, but to the barbarian, I'm a barbarian. To the Greek, I'm the Greek. I'm going to act out of the volume. To the wise, I'm wise. To the stupid, I'll be stupid. But I want to get on everybody's level and act out of the volume of my capacity. I want to be all things to all men. That I might win some. Are you understanding my little message tonight? So he said, I come to you not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but with power and with demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And I think I might have asked y'all before, but it won't hurt to ask twice. How many of y'all ever had a demonstration of a rainbow vacuum cleaner? Huh? Come on. Well, I promise you, he didn't knock on your door and say, let me tell you about the rainbow vacuum cleaner. It is the most wonderful vacuum cleaner you ever had. You do not have a vacuum cleaner that can take up more capacity of dust than any other thing that's ever had. He doesn't do that. He says he walks with one in his hand. And he says, let me give you a... Well, it speaks volumes. Volumes. What you do with one little thing speaks volumes. How you handled that one situation speaks volumes. What you said to them in your anger speaks volumes. He said, I come with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Words and talk is cheap, unless you're on AT&T. You can say all you want to, I'm Christ's disciple. He said, if you love me, you say you love me, you would keep my commandments. Talk is cheap.
Whom shall I teach knowledge? Whom am I going to help to understand doctrine? He said, it's them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. If a child is on the breast, it's only getting one thing. Right? It's only getting, you're not drawing from the volume of a diet. You don't have a balanced diet. And they're only, it's okay when you're a child. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. We all started out like that. But you will never grow if you stay like that. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And how many times did Paul say, I got a lot of things to tell you, but you're still on the milk? Amen. There's too many crybabies in churches. Too many crybabies. You know, I don't know, not this church, of course. He didn't use me. He didn't call me. He saw him. Crybabies. And he said, they need to be weaned from that milk. That's why they're crybabies. When you take a baby from the breast, they're immediately crying. To wean something is to draw it away from the pleasure. And the Bible says in that parable we call of the sower that there were ones that received the seed among thorns. And that is he that heareth the word, but the cares and the pleasures of this life and the deceivableness of riches choke the word, so that it is unfruitful and never brings fruit to perfection. Do you understand this? If you don't bring fruit to perfection, the whole thing is no good. I don't care how many blooms you have. I don't care how it looks. If it does not, if that orange does not get sweet, it's no good. You and I must bring fruit to perfection. We have to be careful of the spirit of the thorns. Yeah. See, did you miss it? The spirit of pleasure, the spirit of money, the spirit of the cares of this life. All these things, you see, choke out the word of God. I need more money so I can do this, and I need more. If I just had a bigger house, if I had a better car, if I just had better this, better that. And so you pour yourself into the things of the world and the word gets less and less. I wouldn't dare ask this tonight how many, well, I was going to say hours. That wouldn't be good. How many minutes you read your Bible a week or pray? Why? Got too many other things to do. That's why. Too many other things to do. They're not life and death, their cares of this life. I'm glad we already voted. And you can be so concerned with things going on around you, thorns, that you forget what's supposed to be going on in you. That's what thorns do. They choke out the word. We need to wean ourselves from the cares of this life. If you have to set a time 30 minutes earlier to get up and read your Bible and pray, then do that. See if you can do that. I dare you to do that. I double dog dare you to do that. And see, check with you a year from now and see if you're still doing that. Oh, yeah, come on. Come on. Whom am I going to teach knowledge to? It's not those people. You can't learn this just in church. I'm sorry. See, mamas and dads want the Sunday school teacher and the pastor to raise their kids. It's not going to happen. You raise your children. You teach them the laws. You sit down and have Bible studies. You have prayer meetings with your children. And we just reinforce what you're doing. They cannot get it all right here. It's not going to happen. Precept must be upon precept. Line must be upon line. And a little here and a little there. But he said, but with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak in volumes. Lord, hallelujah. We need to come to grips that what a man says, so is he. As a man thinks, so is he. My, my, my. Have you ever had an assignment, something you needed You ever had an assignment? Teacher give you an assignment? Did you know you have an assignment? Did you know you're on assignment tonight? You're on assignment? He said, I come to do thy will, O God. I'm on an assignment. You will never find your assignment till you first find your tears. Because he that sows in tears, that's the seed. You got to water that seed. Is going to reap in joy. Shall doubtless come again reaping. And your strength comes from what? Joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And once you get strength, then you get the anointing. And the anointing means to be sent of God. There's no need to send you on an assignment. No need to anoint you if you're going to sit on it. No need to. Because he wants you to carry out what he has anointed you to do. And when King Saul failed to carry out what he was anointed to do, he said, I'm through with you. It is up to you. Now let me speak to somebody tonight. I'm not going to be too much longer. We got a little board meeting after church. You create the atmosphere you live in. You create it. You said, but you just don't know what I'm dealing with. It's up to you to talk to yourself out of the volume of what's in you. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. His praise shall continually be upon my lips. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come, let us exalt his name together. And you create an atmosphere that in hell can come against you. Anything else you want me to do, boss man? I'd be happy to do it for you. Or you can go in and say, I had enough of this. See, you create the atmosphere. You create that. The children of God create the atmosphere. You do. I walked into many places. Oh, there's Baggett. They used to do that to me. See, let me tell you something. One time, I'm so glad the Woodards are here, so I get to retell some stories y'all haven't heard, and that way they can just listen. But I've been in this all my life, you know? And a guy was on our hunting lease. Y'all act like you hadn't heard this. He was on our hunting lease. And one day he said something about a Jesus jumper. And he looked at me real quick to see what my reaction would be. And I just laughed like that. And I really thought it was funny. I was just like, a Jesus jumper. As I had heard that, he said, you're not mad at me? I said, no, Tommy, I'm not mad at you. I'm still on the lease. I said, yeah, you're still on the lease. You know? He said, well, I'm sorry. I said, you don't need to say you're sorry. I said, let me tell you something, Tommy. I've been in this all my life. And I was a Jesus jumper when Jesus jumping wasn't cool. How many of you been in it that long? I was in it when you raised your hands, you was ridiculed. If you prayed for your food, you was ridiculed. If you wore a skirt, you was ridiculed. If you didn't wear it, you was ridiculed. Everything you did, you was ridiculed. You was a Jesus jumper. Oh, that's, they don't. And now, guess what? Nearly every denomination's raising their hand. Some of them still have shouting fits. Some of them roll on the floor. They still, and now it's cool. It's cool. Well, I was a Jesus jumper when it wasn't cool. And I'm still doing it. And glad to be doing it. Hallelujah. I don't know where I was going with that. Oh, you create the atmosphere. See, so when he looked at me, all of a sudden, and you know what? That guy started getting the CDs and listening to them from this church. I don't know how many he has listened to. And he called me and said, Badgett. He calls me Badgett. Y'all don't call me Pastor Badgett. He said, Badgett, I just listened to that CD. He said, ooh, you was excited on that one. He said, I had to turn the volume down. And we just laughed. You create the atmosphere. Not the world, you. And we live today in an atmosphere that if we're not careful, we become like what we're around. We do. And we live in a day of brevity rather than longevity. Yes, we do. And there used to be a day, Brother Petrie, where you got to know somebody before you was even friends with them. And then finally you said, well, I'm going fishing tomorrow. You're welcome to go if you want to go. Well, I think I'll go with you. And
you just kind of went with that guy and you just kind of, hey, we kind of hit it off. Hey, I'm going tomorrow. You want to go? Hey, I got to go to town tomorrow. And you just developed this friendship. Today, click. That's right. Today we click our friends. Be my friend. Click. Tomorrow, I unfriend you. Click. I have 854 friends. And I used to hear it say if you have one hand and you could count all your good friends on one hand, you had a lot of friends. Today it's click. A generation of brevity. And they don't want to work for anything to make it happen, you know, to be fruitful. I brought this. I'm so glad the Woodards are here. Y'all don't leave because I would have to preach to somebody else. I brought this for you tonight. Now, y'all act like you hadn't seen this. I brought this for you. Do you know what that is, Brother and Sister Woodard? You know? No, it's not far from it.
Not a beech nut.
No, a chestnut. You can have this. There's a story behind that. Don't eat it, though. It's old. You see, any seed that you get, like a tomato seed, and you plant it, you'll get a quick harvest out of it. You'll be eating tomatoes in a couple months. But next year, you got to replant and replant and replant. But things that bear fruit for years, you don't get anything the first year, the second year, the third year. When I planted those, they said it would take 6 to 10 years to get the first nut. They were right. And I watered and I fertilized and I looked and I hoped and they'd fall off. And next year, I'd look and I'd hope and they'd fall off. But finally, one year, some of them held on. And a chestnut, once it start bearing, will bear for 200 to 300 years. That's what I'm talking about. And so this year, it's been like 10 years, I had buckets of them. 5-gallon buckets I picked up off of two trees. But if you're in this for a quick fix, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. People don't want to sit down. My mother's not here tonight. I don't see her. There you are, Mom. Don't want to sit down. You correct me if I'm wrong. Can you get anybody to sit down for 10 weeks of Bible study? Hardly anymore. You can't hardly find people that have the time because they're choked by the cares of this life. But if you can do it in one night, now I got time for that. We'll make time for that. But guess what? You got to keep doing another one and another one and pre-planting and replanting. But if you'll just stay in there. See, we don't have even a church today that wants to put enough time into somebody until they're fruitful. But once they're fruitful, Lord, I'm going to tell you, my wife can tell you, she don't like this, but I'm doing it anyway. I might give y'all some. Y'all treat me nice. I've got 3 bags of nuts that I picked up because I read up on it and it said if you'll wait 3 months in temperatures between 34 and 38, they'll germinate. Can you believe that? So I got me 3 gallon Ziploc bags. And I put me some chestnuts in there, and I put moisten the dirt just like Professor Google says, and I poked some holes in the top of it, and I put them in that crisper down there and moved all the other stuff to the other side and put it down there in that crisper. And she says, what is this? It's an experiment. And so I put them in there, and I'd go look. 1 month, nothing. But can I tell you, see this smile? Lord, there's a little root coming out of nearly every one of them. Wow. Patience pays off. And I'm going to take those little nuts and I'm going to plant them in a little tree. And you know what? I probably won't maybe live long enough, but I got kids. And I got now a granddaughter. She's so smart, y'all. Hallelujah. Longevity, realizing that I'm in this for the long haul. I don't need a quick fix because I'm in a problem. I'm in this. I want to do everything the book says. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. You remember that? Hallelujah. But you know, if you work with people that are infertile, then it's futile. You've got to want this thing. You've got to hunger after this thing. He that thirsts, let him come unto me and I'll fill him up and he'll never be thirsty again. You've got to have people that are fertile. And infertile people, it ends up in futility. Infertility, it's futile. And they're never fruitful because they don't have the patience to wait on the... He said, you shall reap if you faint not. Relationships are supposed to be fruitful, right? You add something to me, I add something to you. Together, a threefold cord can't be broken, not easily broken. But unfortunately, again, in this society that we live in, you're just one click away from being somebody's no more their friend. Hallelujah. Thousands of years, and I'm closing, they come tonight. It took thousands of years before Christ came into this world. I'm glad it just wasn't one scripture that said it and poof, he was there. I told in that Bible study, what makes me believe the Bible is really not, listen close, it's really not because, or makes me believe that Christ rose again. Let me say that he rose again. It's really not that I heard that he died and rose again. Now, we were raised in this, most of you were raised in this, and mama told you he died and rose again. So you kind of believed it. Mama said it, and you just accepted it, and then you learned other things in the Bible. But I'm going to tell you what makes me believe. Because if you told me Buddha died and rose again, how many of you believe that? Confucius? Somebody else? Anybody else? You wouldn't believe it. Why do you believe this man died and rose again? I'll tell you why. Because it says it in the volume of the book. That's why I believe it. It said in Isaiah, a virgin shall conceive. It says over in Psalm that on the cross he would say, I thirst. And it says that all prophecy, when had it been fulfilled, he said, I thirst. And then he yielded the ghost. Now, if I don't have all the rest of the book, and you tell me a man died and rose again, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Because I've never witnessed that before. I've never heard of that before. But through the volume of the book, I believe every word of it. Because everything that was said here was fulfilled over there. And I'm coming home to you tonight because you have to understand, you are the book. Lord, you are the book. There you go. What did he say? You're an epistle written and read of all men. You've got to live a life. You need to say, lo, I come in the volume of the book. Walk in the door of their job and say, lo, I come in the volume of the book. Walk in your church, lo, I come in the volume of the book. You need to be the volume of the book. I know we all have weaknesses and strong points and weak points, but let me tell you, everything that's weak needs to say, I am strong. You need to work on those things. Because when he comes, he wants a bride that has done what? Made themselves ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? Clap your hands to the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You are the volume of the book. Let everybody that sees you know that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Sing it with them tonight.